Well, good morning. Thank you for having me back. You're like, I have a choice. You just stand up there, and it's not really up to me. It is a pleasure, really, to be here with everyone this morning to pray and to commune. Thank you, Katrina, for wonderful thoughts, and Sarah as well. It's always just a pleasure to be at CCC on Sunday mornings. And like Mike alluded to, you know, we're wrapping up with the longest, nay, the never-ending, or as we call it, the larger story this morning, and looking forward to kind of tying a bow on that, and if nothing else, next week not seeing that slide, because it's been there a long time. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, thank you for so many blessings that you've given us. We're just humbled by your love for us and your grace. Father, thank you for the way that you take care of your creation. Lord, we know it has rained a ton, but we know that you're just feeding this world like you feed us, and that soon enough, the sun will be out, and the trees will start to bloom, and it's just a miracle to watch. Father, as we go into this morning, and we start talking about the subject of the end, and as we talk about death, Father, I just ask that, that the message be one that is from you, and that the message that we hear be inspired by you, and that we might just see a little glimpse into your kingdom and your glory. In your son's name we pray, amen. So I have 7% on my iPad. So if I start talking really fast at the end, it's not because I don't like being up here, it's that it's gone lower. An archaeologist was digging in the Negev Desert in Israel and came upon a casket containing a mummy. After examining it, he called the curator of a prestigious natural history museum. I've just discovered a 3,000-year-old mummy of a man who died of heart failure, the excited scientist exclaimed. To which the curator replied, bring him in, we'll check it out. A week later, the amazed curator called the archaeologist. You were right about the mummy's age and the cause of death. How in the world did you know that? Easy, the archaeologist says. There's a piece of paper in his hand that said 10,000 shekels on Goliath. For some of it. We're at the end, like I said, of the larger story this morning, and over these last few months, we've taken a look at where you and I fit into the larger story of God's creation. We've looked at the Bible in several different sections. We've talked about creation and being created in God's image. We've talked about rebellion. We've talked about rescue. We've talked about the cross and what that means to us. We've covered how we live in 2018 in light of the troubles that are sure to come in these days of victory. Last week, Bob talked about the return and some aspects of our life after we have passed on to heaven. This morning, I want to bring this series to a close by discussing death and our unique relation to it as Christians. In death, our faith is perhaps our most powerful testimony for the life that we live as Christians. This morning, I'm going to talk about 3 points. The first one is faith in healing. There's no question that we have a praying church. I can walk to the back of the sanctuary and flip through that prayer lesson, find page after page of prayer requests that we bring to the Father. Many of those prayer requests have to do with people we know and love facing serious health issues. All over this city today, there are people dealing with the worst news possible, the news of serious health issues, life-threatening issues. People deal with these issues in different ways depending on where their beliefs rest. When my father-in-law was told that he needed a double lung transplant, he did not turn around and start making arrangements for his death. No, he approached the news with a faith that Abba Father would look after him. And he made sure that everyone around him knew that his faith was what was carrying him through, that he was not giving up on life. When Mark was told that in addition to needing 2 new lungs, that he was also going to need a new heart, Mark didn't call me to say goodbye. Mark and many of those around them hit their knees and kept praying for a miracle. Mark would tell everyone he talked to, nurses, doctors, even the technicians that clean his room about the news, about the good news of Christ. When Mark's heart and lungs were starting to fail and the doctors could not find a good match for him, he asked that this church, this little family, pray for him. He asked that I stand in for him, that hands be laid on me, that we might lift up prayers to the Father that Mark may be healed. By the end of that week, Mark had a new heart and two new lungs. And Mark continued to tell the story of Abba Father to everyone around him. As believers, we don't see the news of poor health as a death sentence. We see this as an opportunity for God to show his glory. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is a powerful and effective. There's a young man that is Lucas's age. I met him 9 years ago when he was just 4 years old. He was playing flag football with Lucas and I was helping coach. Caleb was a special child. He had been through a lot at such a young age. And just a few days ago, Caleb's mother posted this and I asked her if I could share it with you. February 22nd, 6:42 a.m., 2018. 10 years ago today, we were given the best news possible. We were told that after only 3 months of chemo, there were no signs of the tumor or any cancer in Caleb's body. Scans were clear, BMA was clear, labs were good. The doctor stated that he was surprised that given the size of the tumor, there was no evidence of it in such a short period of treatment. I reassured him that he had given us excellent care, but there were so many people praying for Caleb's healing that I was confident it was God's hand at work more than it was any medicine that could ever have been given to him. It was a long 2 years, and certain symptoms would give me a fright of relapse, but my faith has never faltered. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 got me through a lot of sleepless nights all those years ago. All the time, God is good. God is good all the time. Love you all, my Facebook peace. See, our faith in healing, even in the face of incredible odds, speaks a testimony that causes people to stop and listen. Those that do not believe wonder how we can be so confident in healing when everyone says there is no chance. This faith draws people close to us. They want to know why. But as we know, healing doesn't always come. Our prayers are not always answered in the timing that we want. And when that happens, as believers, we're able to look at death as a transition and not as an ending. My second point this morning is that we have peace in passing. After almost 3 years, my father-in-law started having trouble with his lungs. See, we knew early on in the process that organ transplants are not normally forever. Our bodies know that the organs are not ours, so over time, the body starts to reject them. And this was happening to Mark. Us kids, we didn't know it. He didn't want us to worry about his health. See, Mark knew where he was headed. Mark had made peace with passing. I'm sure Mark would have wanted another 3 years off, 3 years with us. Heck, I'm sure he would have wanted another 30. But that wasn't his story. He was exactly where God had put him. And Mark was using each day to encourage others and talk about his heavenly Father and give glory to him. This peace may not have been as public a testimony as the miracle of his organ transplant was, but it spoke volumes to me. I'm sure that more than a few of you have been in a situation where you've had to face the facts that a loved one's time has come and they're going to go home to the Lord. Paul writes in Corinthians 15, the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Through our faith, we know that this is not the end. Our belief in the resurrection of our heavenly body is at the heart of our faith. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes this, and I'm going to read from the Message. verse 12. Now let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers, you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead. How can you let people say that there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All these affidavits we passed on to you verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications if there was no resurrection. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering around in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. There's a nice symmetry to this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. When Jennifer and I were talking about this subject, she said that this peace at our passing is a great example of the peace that passes all understanding. Days before Mark passed, he had the wonderful opportunity to get on the phone and call almost everyone he cared about. And he was at peace, and he had the opportunity to tell everyone exactly what they meant. There was a night with all of the family standing around the bed when he talked to each of us. And it's a wonder that he was able to get through that, and it must be this peace. As believers, our lack of fear, even when facing the most, even when facing what most of the non-believers' world sees as the final act of our entire existence, our lack of fear is a loud testimony to the promises that our Lord and Savior has conquered death, and that the end of this mortal body is only the end of the shortest chapter of our lives. My last point this morning is in there somewhere. We'll wing it. My last point this morning is this. As believers, we carry hope in resurrection. As those that are left behind, we are encouraged by the promises in the Bible that in our heavenly resurrection, the pain and suffering in this world gone, and our bodies and mind are made whole and perfect. In Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." How odd it must sound to non-believers when they come to a funeral service for someone who is afflicted with physical trouble in this world. In our belief, we talk about our loved ones being able to run again, dance again, maybe do some fishing. All those things that we love to do here in this life that are taken away as our bodies start to die are given back to us when we finish our time here and are taken up to heaven. This hope is a special gift from our Father above. Losing a loved one is a hard thing. We miss them. We yearn for their company. But we know that where they are now is such a blessing to them. To the non-believer, they only see a tombstone. To us, we see a reminder that this life is only the beginning. People are drawn to this hope that we possess, this hope, this peace that sets us apart in this world. I know that in the last years Mark was on this earth, he was not able to do what he wanted to because his body would not let him. It is a comfort for my soul that I know that right now, Mark can do anything he wants to, that his body and his lungs are healthy, that he can sing praises as loud as he wants without coughing, that he can dance to the angel singing. I know that he can, and probably is, having long conversations with anyone that will listen. This hope, this peace, this comfort sets us apart. It is a testimony to our faith and to our Father above. It's tough for us to imagine what heaven will be like, what it will feel like, what it will taste like. We have faith on healing, we have peace in passing, and we have hope in the resurrection. This last song of the morning is not only one of Bob's favorites, but it's one of mine. This song does a great job of helping me to stop worrying about the things that we deal with day to day and puts me in a great mood of anticipation for what comes next.